You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hemlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds. The
30's more accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Hello and welcome to episode number 97 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded for you on June 2nd, 2015. My name is Rob, and I had something clever lined up.
What was it? You forgot.
And I play Hearthstone.
No.
No? Ah, jeez. Nah. I had something, too, like a minute ago. I was like, oh, that's perfect. with me tonight is my bro host, who only plays Diablo in Heroes of the Storm.
Yes, only. That is true, because I'm terrible at everything else.
You know, the Heroes of the Storm intro might be appropriate, because tonight we are welcoming a longtime IRL friend of mine who I've worked with, I've gamed with, known for several years now, and he's been a bro. He's given me lots of advice on lots of things. Welcome Ignatium for a special episode tonight.
Hello there.
Dude, it is so good to have you on.
It's good to be on.
I know we've like asked you a couple times to come on about stuff, and you're like, nah. But now we finally got you on, because tonight we are talking Heroes of the Storm. This is, I think, a first for the Dummies, is to talk about have a complete episode dedicated to a non-Warcraft-related topic, so...
Yeah, I think but so. It's still partially related, because there's characters from Warcraft in Heroes.
Yeah,
so we're good. We're good. Yes,
the hype is real. Today was launch, and we're excited. And I find myself talking about researching, thinking about Heroes way more than I was planning on it. So. I think it'll be good to clear the air on some of the rumors and kind of just how the game works in general. But before we do that, I think maybe, I don't know, I think let's do something a little different. Maybe we'll start off with some interview questions, and then we'll get into the Heroes talk. What do you think? It's a little off the reservation.
You need some new material.
So, Ignatium.
Yes.
How, what, when did you start playing? I guess we can do this in terms of Warcraft, since that's still the nature of the show. But when did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Well, I started playing back in Burning Crusade. So basically, I played a lot of online games with friends from like middle and high school. Warcraft 3, Diablo 2, Counter-Strike, Day of Defeat. Things like that. We would go to like LAN parties and stuff at the local computer place. It was real nice. My best friend at the time was excited for WoW when it was announced, and of course he played it immediately, but I couldn't because I was in high school, no job. As soon as I had money, though, I was in, and I was hooked in BC. My current main is a Fury Warrior, Laran, raiding with you guys on Friday nights, of course. I was watching that same friend play before I started, and saw another character nearby who was charging at all his enemies and smashing them with huge weapons. And when I saw that, I was like, "All right, warrior is going to be the class I'm going to make." And that's it.
Nice. So, what is the origin of the name? Now, how did Rob pronounce Ignatium? Ignatium.
Yes, Ignatium. You know, it's a new name for me. I just wanted something that sounded cool, and. Basically, it's like from Ignite, like fire, Ignite, and Ignatium just is there because it fits really well. It wasn't really thought out, just something I came up with on the spot.
I like it. It sounds like a chant, like you would chant it before going and killing a raid boss.
That's exactly what it is.
What would you say is maybe your most fond memory in or because of gaming in general, I guess?
Well, you know, right now, it is Warcraft, and the number one thing is just raiding with you guys on Friday nights. I haven't had this much fun in WoW in a long time, And let's see, if I had to choose something else, it would have been when I first stepped into Karazhan and tanked in my blues and greens from Heroics.
Nice.
It was very interesting. We one-shotted a Tubman, and we got Morose down on the second try. It was great.
You know what's funny? You transferred over to Deathwing.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought you would transfer to a PvP server.
I hate PvP servers, but it was worth it to be in the guild. It's worth it.
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good thing going on with the guild. We're pretty laid back, pretty fun. The people definitely put it over the top.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to in patch 6.2?
So I looked through the patch notes, and I didn't see a whole lot for me. It doesn't look too exciting, to be honest, but I think seeing Tanon Jungle again will be nice, and Hellfire Citadel, of course, is going to be great. I can't wait to see what they have in there for us.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If the 6.2 ends up being like the Timeless Isle 2.0, I'm probably not going to be super hyped on it. I'm probably going to spend more time in Heroes.
It's a distinct possibility.
You know, I feel like, and I was having this conversation, it might have been with you earlier, about feeling like we're slightly being encouraged to try some of their other products or their other titles, and I think there's definitely a fine line between wanting people to look at some of your other offerings and just straight pissing them off, because I know. You know, I don't want to get into the no-flying thing, because people are just throwing a fit over that. I would prefer flying myself, but I'm not gonna quit, I'm not gonna unsub or anything like that. But, I mean, there is a large group of people that are getting pissed and are probably gonna lose interest in Blizzard titles altogether if they just really get that disenchanted, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were talking about that. Sometimes it feels like that, because right now with World of Warcraft, I go in, I check my garrisons on my main and all my alts, mm-hmm. and then I log off. I don't do anything. I only raid on Friday, and then the rest of the week I'm in Heroes, or I'm in Hearthstone, or I'm doing something else. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like maybe they want that. Maybe they want me to play Heroes and buy some Heroes in there, or play Hearthstone and buy some packs.
Yeah, the microtransaction system is strong in the newer titles. So yeah, maybe we're getting led in a different direction. But
tinfoil hat.
If if they keep putting out good content in WoW, I will keep playing and I will keep raiding and I will keep having fun, because I really do love the game. It's a good game. So
absolutely.
What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Okay, so this one is Shade of Aran in Karazhan. Kara was my first raid, so I am a little biased, but he was always fun. I remember the guild I was in at the time making such a big deal about the flame wreaths, and I can proudly say that I never made one of them go off. And
I remember that fight now that you say the flame wreaths. Okay, yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, they were so worried about it that it made the fight that much easier, because it was so burned into our heads by the raid leader not to move.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's always fun. There's just a lot going on in that fight, so it's good.
All right, I'm gonna throw this last question here. I'm gonna throw you for a loop, change it up just slightly. But what is your favorite hero to play in Heroes of the Storm?
Oh wow, that was I am thrown for a loop here. No, it's Malfurion.
I like
support heroes.
The druid.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Delete.
Busted. Delete Malfurion.
Busted.
No, he has such a good set of abilities that work really well with a lot of different heroes. And he's a support, and I like supporting my teammates, so I feel like he's a really, really good choice for me.
Right on. Well, let's see here. What do we got?
This is Reznal from Healing Trees Everywhere, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
That guy's awesome.
Yes,
another druid.
Gosh dang it, Reznor.
I know. But anyway, so we're going to talk Heroes of the Storm tonight. The release, the official release or launch date was today. And part of the reason I want to do this show is because I have no clue about MOBAs or any of that. Like, I get in there and I still feels like I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. So I think we're just going to let you drive the bus here, and I'm sure. That. Yeah. bourbon buffs don't help either on Fridays. But anyway, we're gonna let you drive the bus here, and I'm sure we'll jump in with plenty of questions. So if you want to, yeah, I see you've got basics here. So if you want to start us off with that, and we'll just go from there.
Definitely. Okay. So first off, Heroes of the Storm is a MOBA, like you were saying. That stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena. Your team will be compromised of 5 heroes, which everyone chooses before they queue into a match, and each hero starts with 3 abilities, as well as a trait, which is unique to each hero. These traits often dictate how your character will be played, and are very important to read to make sure you get a full understanding of your character. Now, if I remember right, you initially start out owning no heroes, but there is a free rotation of 7 heroes that resets every Tuesday. At first, you can only use 5 of those, and as you level your account up, you'll gain access to more free slots. You can purchase heroes with in-game gold or real money. There's a real money sale every single week that includes 1 hero as well as a couple of skins.
So, if you genuinely want to play the free-to-play, like I don't have that much money, I don't have that much time, I don't even know that much about this game, I'm not that invested, you can genuinely go in for free and still have fun and be as successful as anyone else.
I think so, absolutely. The good thing about the free hero rotation is that it changes every Tuesday, so you can try out just all these different heroes, 10 in the first 2 weeks, which is just great for me. And of course, once you hit level 5 with those heroes, you'll get 500 gold bonus. So it gives you a good incentive to play more than 1 hero.
That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So
I've noticed that some of the heroes are like super cheap. So if you decide, like, I don't know, well, there was one that I liked, Lily, and she was, you know, only 2,000 gold, maybe 3,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you do decide that you like one, there's some pretty good ones that are, you know, not too expensive.
I think most of the easy-to-play heroes are pretty cheap, especially the ones that came out, like, in the beginning of the game, in the beginning of Alpha and Beta.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Lili is probably the easiest support hero to play, and she's only 2,000 gold, so if you like support and you want something basic to start out with, she's definitely a good one to go with. So that was a good choice.
Cool.
So the main objective of the game is to forge a path through enemy minions, gates, towers, and forts to their core. The core is the final building, and if you destroy the enemy team's core, you immediately win. Towers and forts will attack you with a limited amount of ammo that depletes as it attacks, and the remaining ammo is indicated by a circle icons above the tower or fort.
See, I didn't know that. I had no
idea. Basically, there's visual indicators for just about everything, right?
For most things, yeah. Some things it's hard to tell. I've noticed that I have a hard time knowing if a disable is on me by looking at the bottom left there. I don't believe an icon shows up. Although there may be an option for that. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't looked for it.
Mm-hmm. But like the towers, I could tell when they were out of ammo or not shooting or whatever, but I never knew there was an indicator that they had so much left. So that's good to know. Cool.
Yeah, and you see little like bars above their heads that'll say, like, you know, literally, it'll show you the countdown of how many shots each one has.
And it'll regenerate over time, but it's really slow. Except some heroes have talents that can actually fix that, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So, okay, so the buildings. Towers are easier to kill than forts. They have less health and less ammo, and forts are easier to kill than the core. The core has infinite ammo, it hits harder, and can take more hits than any other building. It also has a shield that will slowly regenerate over time. This shield regenerates, I know I say slowly, but it's actually pretty quick. If you're not attacking the core for a while, it'll get back up to a good percentage of health pretty quickly, and that's indicated by a blue bar. instead of the red bar, which is the health. Blue is a shield, red is health. That's
right. Typical. So the shield will regenerate, but not the health.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So if you get it down to 25% health, it'll stay at 25% health, but I believe it can get up to 50% shields. So it would be at 75%, I believe, at max.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it never fully regenerates, but it does.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And on top of that, the core also deals splash damage, meaning that if you were too close to the core's main target, you will also take damage. So you got to watch out for that, too.
Okay.
Okay. So, in general, MOBAs have three lanes with a forest or jungle in between the lanes in which there are neutral minions that can be killed for extra experience and other benefits. In the lanes, minions will spawn for both teams, one wave at a time for each lane. These minions include melee and ranged units, three of each. Ranged units typically hit harder and have less health than the melee units, and in every MOBA that I know of, including heroes, you will almost always want to stand behind your team's minions while you're in a lane, especially in the early parts of the game, so that you don't take unnecessary damage from enemy minions, heroes, or towers.
That is key. Even that's something that I've learned the hard way a lot. Even if you're a tank, or I guess they're referred to as warriors in Heroes, even if you are, you feel like it's your job to go in there and take the beating, it is not like Warcraft. You do not go in and sit there and just get your face pounded in. You have to let the little creeps, the little minions, do the work for you.
Exactly. That is key. Very, very key. So, another thing to note with that is towers and forts will always focus on hitting a minion within range before hitting heroes. It's very important to keep that in mind, because you can be next to a tower and be safe from its fire as long as there are friendly minions in its range. And that includes mercenaries, which we'll get into later as well. So, in Heroes, there are currently 7 different maps that you can be randomly placed into when you queue into a match. Of course, there are custom matches which you can choose your own map, but those don't give experience, so they're not really played very much. Usually it's played if you want to have fun in like a 5-versus-5 environment with 9 other friends, or 9 people you know. These maps all spawn waves of minions in each lane that have 3 melee and 3 ranged, as I said, as well as 1 ranged minion that stands in between. Now, this one ranged unit is important because it will always drop a regeneration globe. And what that does is it restores a bit of HP and mana to nearby heroes, as well as other bonuses based on talent choices, which we'll get into in a little bit. On top of these minions, some maps have special minions in place of others, or extra minions that are related to map objectives, which is also a little bit later. We'll get into that. I know. So, experience. We'll go into experience here, and unlike other MOBAs, experience in Heroes of the Storm matches are shared between all teammates, meaning that you all level up at the same time. To gain experience, you get it whenever a minion or hero is destroyed and one of your team's heroes are within a good range of the death. You don't gain more experience if you have 2 heroes nearby, which is important to note. You can also gain experience when an enemy building is destroyed, but a hero does not need to be nearby to gain that experience. You're guaranteed that experience when a building dies.
Okay. So even if one of the NPCs does it, you still get credit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is related to, I think, when we were playing last, was that Friday? I can't even remember. But how you should have at least 1 hero in every lane then, so that you're getting maximum experience from the enemy creeps dying, right?
Typically, yes. This kind of tapers off in the mid-game when you reach about level 10.
Okay.
But until then, yeah, you typically want to stick to the lane, except, of course, to do objectives, or if somebody really needs help in their lane. So there are situations where you will leave your lane, but typically, yes, you will stay in the lane so that you can get experience for the entire map.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So I guess we'll move on to the next section here, which is movement. Now, you might think that this is going to be a really easy section. You just right-click to move, right? That's it. Well, no. There are quite a few things you need to know about movement in this game. It's very important because there are a lot of ways you can just die if you don't know all the things about how to move your hero. So you can move by right-clicking on the ground where you want to go, right? So typically, most heroes have the same movement speed, although there are plenty of exceptions when you take into account abilities, talents, and sometimes traits. Most heroes also have the ability to mount up while not in combat so they can move around the map more quickly. Z is the default button to mount up.
I think you mean Zed.
You'll see this. Zed, sorry. I'm from the U.S., so.
Zed. We'll call it Zed here today.
We spell it Z-E-E, so it's Z. You know. No, well, anyway.
Z-E-D. Zed.
No.
Z-E-D?
Zed within a Zed.
Okay. Zedded.
Okay, so B, as in boy, uses your Hearthstone. That has a moderate cast time, but is a quick way to get back to the base, or the Nexus, as it's called, in this game, so you can heal back up.
That's Hinn's favorite ability to use.
It's a good ability. It's a great ability.
Don't see what's stone.
I get it.
It's enough out of you.
So, the Hearthstone is very important. When you use it, it has no cooldown. When you use your Hearthstone, you gain a set amount of HP and mana immediately when you get back to the Nexus, as well as automatically becoming mounted if your character can mount up. Or the equivalent, such as Rhaegar becomes his Ghost Wolf form, which is his mount.
Mm-hmm.
So, camera movement. Camera movement is very important. You can move the camera by clicking anywhere on the minimap at the bottom right to view that area, or by simply moving your cursor to the edge of the screen. Now, the cursor option, moving your cursor to the edge of the screen, this only works if you have the camera follow feature off. Now, that's the L button. The
frickin
L button
hell.
Will enable...
Frickin' L.
L.
Oh my god, yeah. I hate that L key.
We learned all about the L.
Yes.
See, I love the L, because I always turn it off. I can't have that on. I can't play right with it on. The L button will enable... I get that for new players. I do. But the L button will enable or disable the hero camera follow feature. And it can be useful for new players, but I would suggest turning this off for those who have played MOBAs before, as it means you can't necessarily position the camera to the best spot at all times. And having a bad camera position is an easy way to get snuck up on by an enemy hero and die. So, you gotta be careful of that.
Eh.
No.
Poppycock.
All right.
Exactly.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man. I say keep it off, but if you're new, it's all right to keep it on. I would just try to wean yourself off of it if you can, especially if you're going to play competitively.
I don't even know how I'd begin to turn that off and I don't know. It just does not compute.
Yeah, exactly.
If you played a lot of Warcraft 3, then you would kind of understand. Like, I played a ton of Warcraft 3 when I was a kid, and that was just how you moved the map, was moving the cursor to the edge.
Yeah, I mean, I played a lot of Warcraft and even the original Starcraft, and, you know, I get that, but, like, this is a whole different... This is a very involved game. Nobody got time to manage their camera.
Exactly. Just have it follow me.
I hope a lot of our listeners do have the time to manage the camera.
L. Just remember L. If it's off, hit L. I don't, and you're good.
If it's on, hit L, so that way you can move your camera
when
you need to.
No. If it's on, leave it be.
Okay, so, anywho... here are a couple more things regarding movement that you need to be aware of, because this can easily kill you. Now, blocking. Your movement can be hindered not only by walls or terrain, but also by any hero or minion in your way. This means that your character will need to walk around them, taking more time to escape. And it can be useful, it can be used to your advantage, actually, with a hero like Illidan, for example. Illidan has an ability that allows him to jump behind enemies, and if the player is quick enough, he can get some attacks in while moving in front of the hero. You just have to click really fast to make his escape slower. This can sometimes result in a kill in your team's favor, and some heroes have abilities that will actually summon minions, and those can also get in your way, like Zagara's minions, or a great example is Nazebo's W skill, which is like the zombies that surround one unit.
Yeah.
That is a great blocker.
F that move.
See, I didn't realize that there was crash detection in this game. I just never paid attention, I guess.
Well, you'll start to notice the more that you play, like, you can intentionally body block people.
I didn't know that.
You can, somebody's trying to get away, if you can get in front of them, you can make it hard for them to get away.
That's very true. Yes. Very, very true.
Cool.
So another thing is movement speed reductions, roots, and stuns. So, as with other MOBA games, there are slows, stuns, and roots, which will hinder your ability to escape. Many heroes have these types of abilities, and you will need to watch out for them. Slows, obviously, will slow your movement speed and are typically a debuff that will wear off after a short time, but generally they last longer than most roots or stuns. There are exceptions. Roots will keep you in place for a short period of time, but you are still able to attack and use abilities, assuming you can reach whatever you're trying to attack from where you're rooted. Mm-hmm. Ranged heroes, of course, can still hit things that are in their range.
Mm-hmm.
Stuns. Now, these are the most dangerous ones. Stuns can completely disable your hero for a short amount of time. You cannot attack, move, or use abilities while you're stunned, and that's really bad. It's the most dangerous one, but usually lasts the shortest amount of the three.
Stuns are nasty, man.
Oh, yes. And a lot of heroes have them.
Don't most... I don't know if the word all is correct here. Don't most heroes have some sort of root or stun? Or movement impairment kind of...
I mean, I'm taking a quick look at the heroes right now, and I would say...
Or is this like you have to talent into it? Some of them have it by default.
I would say probably, yeah, most heroes have some way of slowing a hero down or pushing them back or, you know, some other thing. Yeah, most heroes have a way to do that.
Okay.
So, I guess I'll get into the hero roles next. Every hero will fall into one of four categories, warrior, assassin, specialist, or support. Warrior heroes are typically your tanks. These heroes have more HP than other heroes and are all, so far, melee. While most warriors can be great at tanking, a few can also dish out some good damage in combos. I guess Sonya is a good example of one of those. She usually isn't built as a tank. She's built as kind of like an initiator. So, warriors also frequently have slows, stuns, or disables to protect your teammates or to initiate a fight. Warriors can be a bit more difficult to play than other roles because they're generally the ones to initiate and control the battle. I think a great warrior to start off with, if you're looking for one, is Muradin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a skill shot is?
No.
I do, but because you told me.
You didn't tell me, so I don't know yet.
So, a skill shot is an ability that you can use that you have to aim. Generally, it's shot out in a line, and then if you can hit an enemy with it, it's good.
It's not an auto attack or an auto...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just... You have to actually have a little target and place it where you want.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, you can't just target the hero and it'll home in on them. You actually have to aim it to where they're going to be when you cast it.
Mm-hmm. And they can run... A lot of times they'll run out of the line, you know, of the targeting area before you can... Before the ability hits them.
Right, okay. Take it.
So, Muradin, he has a skill shot stun ability, which is called Stormbolt. If you're familiar with Warriors and Warcraft, you might, or Warcraft 3, in fact, you probably know what Stormbolt does. You throw a hammer, and it stuns the hero, or unit, if it hits a unit instead of a hero. Units can get in the way. Friendly units can't, but enemy units can.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing he can do is leap in and out of battle on a short cooldown with his Dwarf Toss ability. So, he's a pretty good one to start out with, if you're looking for one, and I think he's pretty cheap. I want to say he's one of the 2,000 gold.
Yeah,
heroes.
I got him. I actually picked him up the other day. I played. He was free last week, I think, and I played one match and just loved it. So I ended up getting him for the cheap.
Awesome. So next is assassins. Assassin heroes are your damage dealers. These heroes typically have a low HP pool and are easier to kill than a warrior. This drawback, however, comes with a great benefit. These heroes are really, really, really good at picking off other heroes. They can deal a large amount of damage in a very short period of time and usually excel in single target damage. A couple of them can also focus on AoE, such as Kael'thas. Now, if you're looking for a good assassin to start out with, I would suggest Raynor. I think Blizzard did a really good job putting him as the hero in the tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
He's more survivable than a lot of other assassins. When he gets low on health, he has a skill that automatically heals him for a really good amount. He also has an ability that can push enemies back. This can help you or your teammates escape, but you just have to be careful not to push away a hero that you're about to kill, which is very easy to do.
I've done it many times. I think, like, when I'm playing in a lane with you, all of a sudden I get all excited and use my, you know, use the big boom, and it ends up shoving one of the enemies back towards their own area where they're able to get away from you a little quicker. Mm-hmm. So you start to learn to, like, circle around and try and come up from flank them a little bit rather than just get in there and start unloading.
Exactly. So our next role are specialists. They are a bit harder to categorize, which is why they get their own. These heroes don't necessarily fit a specific role, although a lot of them are very good at taking down enemy buildings, and these are generally referred to as siegers. A great example of an easy sieger to play, I think, is Sylvanas. Her trait causes all of her auto attacks and abilities to disable minions, towers, and forts, stopping their ability to attack for 1 second. It doesn't affect the core, but it's super, super, super powerful for pushing lanes.
Oh, yeah, it's super awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get, like, an assassin hero with you, you guys can just destroy a building without it even hitting you. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So our next role are support heroes. Support heroes are exactly what they sound like. Every support hero has a way to heal or shield allied heroes. Some have special abilities to disable, stun, and root enemy heroes, as well as other niche abilities. I'd say, like I said earlier, the best example of an easy support hero to play is Lili. Most of her abilities are smart cast, which means she doesn't need to aim them, she doesn't even need to target them. As long as she's within range, her skills will hit the target that is closest or needs to be healed the most, depending on the ability you're using. I mean, it's very, very easy to play Lili. She's a great support hero.
She's fun, man. She's the one that I really was, like, kind of got my attention, and, you know, because you get the quests and all that stuff that you got to do, and she's just, you know, it's way less stressful than feeling like you have to go in there and be the warrior or tank something. You can stand back a little bit. You kind of just heal people up. You know, you have a little slow blind move. You know, you're contributing a lot, but it's not quite as stressful. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, all those heroes that I mentioned are cheap. They're all 2,000 gold, except for Sylvanas, which is 10,000 gold, I believe.
Worth it.
She's really cool, but I couldn't really find another specialist that was super easy to play, I think. At least not as easy as her, in my opinion.
I think I bought Sylvanas when she first came out. I have a feeling I did that. Really... I don't remember why.
Because she's Sylvanas.
That could be. You can't pass her. That's probably why. She's Sylvanas. So, I guess that'll bring us to talents. So, talents are an integral part of your hero and will help determine how you play each hero match to match. To understand how talents work, you'll first need to understand the different types of leveling in this game. And I kind of went over one earlier, but there are three types. Mm-hmm. First off, you have your account level and your hero levels. These are calculated outside of the match. After each match, you gain experience for your account as well as the hero you played in that match. When you first play a hero, you would be locked out of many of their talents until you level them up this way. As you level up your hero by playing more matches, you'll unlock different talent choices up to level 4 when you unlock all of them for that hero. At level 5 with each hero, like I said earlier, you'll be rewarded with 500 gold, so that's a great incentive to just keep playing heroes. There are more rewards for leveling a hero up, including different skin color variations as well as mount variations, but we'll just stop here for now. You also get cool rewards for leveling your account up, such as a new hero rotation slot at 12 and 15. There are also plenty of gold rewards as well. At level 25, you no longer have to worry about not having talents unlocked for your characters, because all talents become unlocked once your account hits 25. That's super good. I'm so glad they added that. And I think it was added in the Kael'thas patch. Maybe Jaina? I can't remember. But yes, finally.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So as for match EXP and leveling, you always start at level 1 and gain the type of experience I mentioned at the top of the show, the EXP you get for killing minions and heroes, as well as structures. Now, talents. In each match, you start with one talent choice at level 1, and you get more talent choices at 4, 7, 10, 13, 16, and 20. After you choose a talent in a match, you can't unlearn that one to learn another. You're stuck with that one until the end of the match. Next to a talent, I don't know, I think they just added this just recently in the Kael'thas patch. It's going to tell you which ability it affects, Q, W, E, R, or your trait, mm-hmm. or if it's simply a passive and doesn't affect an ability at all, which some are. The level 10 talent is especially important as it is your heroic ability, or R. It is generally the strongest one you have and usually has a long cooldown compared to your basic abilities. There are two, I believe, for each hero, heroic abilities, two different ones that you can choose for each hero. You know, you may notice that some heroes have some of the same or similar talent choices, and one of the most common ones has to do with the regeneration globes that drop from that middle minion in each wave. For example, Malfurion has a talent he can take at level 1 called Conjurer's Pursuit. I find this type of talent very useful for some heroes and not so useful for others. Malfurion is an example of a character that I think Conjurer's Pursuit is the best choice at level 1. I think Jaina also has the choice, but I think I don't go with it on Jaina because I'd rather have the increased range on her Frostbolt. So, it just depends. Usually a support hero will probably want to take that because they need more mana regen than, say, an assassin. So the skill itself, the talent Conjurer's Pursuit reads, increase mana regeneration by 0.5 per second, and every 3 regeneration globes gathered increases this bonus by 0.25. It seems like a small amount, but it really does add up throughout the game. For talents like this, you don't need to be the one that picks up the regeneration globe. You only need to be in range of it when one of your teammates picks it up. And I have tested this a few times and have confirmed it, so that is good to know.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so to map objectives and map types. You know, on top of the main goal of destroying the enemy core, there are also objectives to complete on each map. They're different on each map. Some of them are similar, but they're all different. They're a very important part of the game, and if your team doesn't focus on map objectives, your chance to win can drop dramatically. There are 7 different maps, each with their own unique objectives to complete, and I'll go over these briefly right here. So, first off, you have the newest map, which is the Tomb of the Spider Queen. And I believe this is the smallest map in the game. It's a 3-lane map, and actually all the lanes are 3 maps. All the maps are 3 lanes except for one. So what's special about this map is the ranged minions for each lane are replaced with 3 ranged mechanical spiders. These spiders drop gems when they die that you will need to collect and turn into one of the 2 eggs that sits between each lane. This will be indicated on the map by like a white icon, you'll see. Now, once you turn in enough, I believe it's 50 for the first time and increases by 5, I think. It might be 15, 5 or 15, each time. So once you turn them in, 3 giant spider minions will be spawned for your team, one in each lane, and will begin pushing the enemy towers. They also summon little units that can tank the towers, so they're really, really good at pushing. Each time you successfully summon the spiders, you require more gems to summon them again. The next map is the Sky Temple. This is another 3-lane map. The objectives on this map is to control the temples. There are 3 total, one above the top lane and one above the middle lane, as well as one below the bottom. One to 2 temples will activate at a time, depending on how far into the game you are. The first time it'll be 2, the second time it'll be 1, and I believe the third time is 2 as well. So I think it alternates. That might be wrong. Anywho, you need to stand within a circle at the temple to capture it for your team. There will be a little bar notifying you which team is currently controlling it, but if you're there, obviously you know that your team has it if the bar is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
So if your team controls it, the temple will start firing lasers at the nearest enemy building. This is very powerful. While this is happening, you will have 1 large minion and 4 small minions to kill within that circle. It's really, really easy to sneak up on people fighting these minions, so really be yes, aware of your surroundings. It's okay, very dangerous, and a lot of team fights happen there.
So these minions spawn after you take control of the tower? while it's shooting lasers, is that what you mean, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, when the temple starts firing the lasers, the minions will come alive. There are like five statues around circle there, and those come to life. First, the big guy will come, and then a little bit later, the two small guys, and then two small guys after that.
Okay.
So on to the next map, Garden of Terror. This map has a day and night cycle. Each night, shamblers will appear in the jungle area between the lanes, indicated by purple icons on the minimap. The objective of this map is to kill those shamblers and collect enough seeds, it's always 100, to summon a Garden Terror. One person will need to go back to the base to summon this creature. Abilities are incredibly powerful. It has an ability that will transform enemy heroes into plans in a small AoE after a short delay, a small area. It also has a seed that it can, a potted plant that it can put near enemy buildings, which will disable them from attacking, as well as slowing and damaging them and nearby minions. So the next map is Blackheart's Bay. This one, of course, is another three-lane map, just like all the rest so far. This one has two lanes very close to each other at the top and one lane at the bottom that is very far from the other two. In the middle, there's a ghost ship that will fire cannonballs at your enemy team's tower for a price. Periodically, Blackheart will summon two chests, one above the bottom lane and one below the middle lane. You can damage these slowly to collect coins. Once you collect 10 coins and turn them into Blackheart near below his ship, he will fire cannonballs at your enemy structures. The amount of coins needed increases each time you successfully do this in a match, and there are also four small mercenary camps that are easy to solo, which will drop two coins apiece, and there are two at the top of the map and two at the bottom on each side, left and right. So the next map is Dragonshire. Another three-lane map. This map's objective includes two obelisks that your team must attempt to control. The Sun Obelisk is located at the top of the map, and the Moon Obelisk is located at the bottom. Once you control both of them, one teammate can attempt to awaken the Dragon Knight by clicking the dragon statue in the middle of the map. This person will control the Dragon Knight. The Dragon Knight is very powerful. It deals extra damage to structures just with its basic attack and has a very large health pool. He has a Flame Breath ability, which will leave fire burning on the ground wherever you cast it, as well as a Charge ability that can target enemy heroes and slam them far across the map, which is really, really fun. I love that ability.
I don't think I've seen this map yet. Doesn't sound
Which
familiar.
One?
The Dragonshire.
You've been
the
dragon.
Yeah, it's the one where you go and take over the dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't recall doing that map.
Score zero for memory.
Have I done that map with you guys?
Yeah, you've been the dragon, dude. Yeah, you definitely have.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
It was clearly Friday after too. Raid.
Yeah, you had probably quite the scotch buff going.
Bourbon buff.
Oh,
right
bourbon.
Bourbon
my
now,
bad.
Yes.
Who's scotch? Anywho.
Although I did have a scotch on Friday because my father-in-law came over and drank all my bourbon. So, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Haunted Mines. Enough on that. Haunted Mines.
Yes. Haunted Mines. This is the only two-lane map in the game. There are two mine entrances. This is the objective. One in the middle of each lane. Periodically, the mines will open. Your team needs to descend into the mines and kill the minions there for skulls. There are 100 skulls total, and these will power a grave golem for each team. In the mines, there are many small minions which make up 70 of the skulls, and a grave golem boss, which will make up the remaining 30. The team that collects the most skulls will have a more powerful golem with more health. The golem will push the same lane every time. This is important to note as the lane with the enemy team's golem will almost always be weaker than the one with your golem. It's important to split up your team properly based on the amount of skulls so that you can defend from their golem and push with your golem efficiently. The last map is Cursed Hollow. It's the final three-lane map. Periodically, tributes will appear on the map, indicated by a blue raven head icon. To capture a tribute, you must right-click it and stand still for 6 seconds without being attacked or moving. This is where a lot of teamfights will happen. Once your team collects three tributes, the enemy team will be cursed. This means that you basically have Sylvanas all across the entire map. No, it means that all of their minions will be brought down to 1 HP and all of their towers and forts will stop attacking. I believe it's a 1 minute duration. You can use this time to push the enemy team and make a lot of headway into their base.
Nice. Okay, I remember doing that map.
Hype.
I don't remember the dragon, though.
Oh, I remember you being the dragon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember because you were running around, like, between top and bottom, I think. I was like, what is he doing? And, yeah, it was good. But I think he ended up pushing through a couple gates, so it was good. All right, so I guess that brings us to the next part I will go over, which is team play. So being a team-based game, teamwork is going to be incredibly important, of course. There are different ways to go about this. The objectives in the previous section are very important, as I noted. So one great thing that you can do if you're queuing with a friend is to pick heroes that work well together. Examples of this are two heroes who can stun or root. This will make picking off heroes very easy, especially if you can time your disables correctly so that they don't happen at the same time. Ideally, you want one disable to start just as another is wearing off. A prime example of a good hero that works well with a lot of different heroes, like I said, is Malfurion. His trait allows him to give an allied hero mana on a fairly short cooldown, and you can even talent this to make it shorter if the situation calls for it. This works really well with mana hog heroes such as Asmodan. It's probably my favorite guy to go with Malfurion with, because they just make such a good combo. He also has a root which can work well with people who have other disables, like I mentioned. So we kind of went over this a little bit, but one thing to be wary of is if you have a skill that moves an enemy. Two examples are Rainer's Q ability, which is Penetrating Round, which pushes the enemy away, and Stitches with his Q ability, Hook, which pulls an enemy, or teammates if he's talented for it, to him. this could be used to troll. Yes. So yes, be careful of teammate Stitches pulling you into enemies. So with Rainer, it's very easy to accidentally push an enemy to safety with your Penetrating Round, but it's great if you can sneak up on an enemy and push them towards your allies. You just need to be careful that you don't get ambushed doing things like this, because walking through Fog of War is very dangerous. I guess I didn't explain Fog of War. So the entire map, around your units and your buildings, you have vision. Anywhere you don't have vision, that's called Fog of War. So
yeah, that's from like the old Warcraft, StarCraft games too, yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, got it.
So yeah, when working with teammates that can move enemy heroes, it's even more important to carefully aim your skill shots and area of effect abilities. So I know the next section was called Pro Tips, but I think some of these are a little closer to basics. I actually added a few things after our matches the other day.
So it's inspired by our very own friends.
Yes, this is inspired by our team. No, so not this one. The health fountains. If you ever need some health and mana, but you can't or don't want to go back to the base, healing fountains are going to be a great boon for you. These are incredibly useful. They are located behind your gates next to each fort. Right-clicking on a healing fountain will heal you for a percentage of your total health over 20 seconds. When you use it, you will incur a personal cooldown of 100 seconds before you can use the healing fountain again, and this will actually be indicated by a number above all friendly healing fountains if it is on cooldown. So earlier I mentioned the forest and jungle area in between the lanes. So the minions there, I mentioned earlier, are called mercs, mercenaries, mercenary camps. Some people seem to neglect these. They can be very, very powerful for pushing a lane, and with correct timing can be a huge advantage to your team. The way they work is you first have to defeat them, then a circle appears below their feet, kind of like the circle in that temple on the map I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Those are a little harder to solo, though, right?
I would say, oh yeah, absolutely. Well, the shrines, I those are pretty hard to solo too, unless you're pretty late in the game. I would say they're about equal to that. Yeah, you probably want to take two or more heroes to go and get the merc camps for your team. Now, either team can stand on that circle to summon the mercenaries, regardless of who actually killed the camp. So, if they have like a stealth hero like Nova, she can just kind of stand there and stop you from summoning it. So you gotta be careful for that kind of situation. When you summon a merc camp, they will start pushing the nearest lane. Some heroes even have talents that improve nearby friendly mercenaries, which should not be taken lightly. Each map differs on which kind of mercenary camps it has, so that's another important thing to keep in mind. So, mercenary camps are indicated by icons on the map. There are a few icons that mean different things. A banner icon indicates siege units. These guys are huge, attack outside of a tower or fort's range, and deal significant damage, but they attack slowly. They're also a bit squishier than bruiser camps, but still take quite a few hits to take down. And trying to take them down alone is not easy. You'll probably lose quite a good percentage of your health doing so. And these camps always come with two siege giants. A cross swords icon on the minimap indicate a bruiser camp. These guys are the ones you want to bring to a tower to take hits for you while you siege their buildings down. They're tougher than the siege giants, but deal less damage. These camps come in sets of four. Boss camps are indicated by a banner as well, but this banner is a little more lavish than the siege camp banner, and his two lines drape down the side of the banner. Woohoo! So, bosses are the strongest mercenary camp and will generally require three or four people to take down, especially early in the game. Generally early in the game, you're not going to want to go after these. They're too tough. You want to wait till mid-game or later to do that, and that's like level 10 or later. Some bosses have abilities, or not some, but all bosses have abilities that can be avoided with quick reflexes, which brings me to dodgeable abilities. Many heroes' abilities can be avoided with good reflexes and timing. Most area of effect abilities will be indicated with a circle or other animation on the ground below where it is going to hit. The boss mercenary camp is a great example, because the boss generally casts two types of AoE. There's one map where it's different, and I think that is like the shrine map. It casts like a tornado ability, which pushes you around, but anyway, I think all other bosses cast these two. The first is a green or purple circle in the case of that other boss that appears around him. Once it appears, all heroes should move out of this area or they will be hit with a stun and a moderate amount of damage. Ranged heroes should move out of the red or purple circles that are placed on the ground by the boss. These will root the target in place, and they will take a moderate amount of damage over a few seconds. So keep an eye out for these abilities if you're fighting a boss, especially if you think that an enemy hero could be nearby, because if you get disabled by the boss, the enemy heroes will take you down pretty easily.
Yes, they will. Which is also a good thing that you can keep in mind if you think that they're trying to go in and take a boss or a merc camp, you can sneak in and...
Absolutely, and if they're getting hit by those abilities, then yeah, you can probably pull something off.
If they turn around to try and fight you, the boss is still hitting them, so it's a little lose-lose for them.
True. It's good to ambush people when they're trying to get objectives, yes. So that kind of brings us to our next point, too. Knowing when to back out and when to turn around and fight. When your hero's HP is getting low or you're losing it too quickly, it's generally a good idea to get out of the fray. However, if you notice that your teammates are pushing them back, it is often a good idea to turn around and fight them, even if you're already getting ready to heart. You may be tempted to go back and heal, but it's a good idea to turn around and fight when you get an advantage. This is true until around 30 or 40% HP, although I've seen people come back with 15 or 20% and rock it while the enemies are running. Usually while they're running, they're not going to turn around and face three enemy heroes to get you killed, you know? It's just not a good idea, usually. I would be careful if you're doing this with tanky heroes like Chen or something, which you showed me that gif earlier, that they can just get away. Yeah.
That was the exception. I don't think that was real.
That was pretty crazy, though. So another thing, this is good in team matches, is calling missing. This is very important for practically all MOBA games, but is often missed. When heroes in the laning phase in the early game, when you're all in a lane and heroes suddenly go missing from your lane, it's a good idea to let your teammates know through chat, so that way they can expect, you know, oh, maybe Zagara's going to come and gank me, or maybe I have an assassin coming my way, or something like that. It's just good team practice, and you should always do this. The next point I have is map awareness. This is something newer players and even veterans can miss. Paying attention to your minimap is very important, because with a quick glance, you can see how many enemy heroes and friendly heroes are in each lane by the icons. They have a little face icon for each hero. And you can evaluate whether or not it's safe to be where you are. It's like the side view mirror while you're driving. Continually glance at it while you're playing. It's really important to do so. Pinging. This isn't really a pro tip. It's kind of a basic thing, but the basic section was getting really long, so... pinging. By holding down the Alt button and clicking on the map or ground, you can create a ping on the minimap, which will be seen and heard by all friendly players. You can also ping a friendly building to suggest your team defend it, and your hero will actually say, let's defend this fort. So everybody will hear that when you do that, which is nice. Or you can ping an enemy building to suggest the team to attack that. You can also ping objectives. You can ping large minions such as bosses or even merc camps. If you control them and you ping a merc camp, it'll say, let's assist these mercenaries. If you hold down the button, the mouse button, instead of just clicking, you also have extra options to choose, such as danger or I'm on my way, which is really useful. To ping retreat, you can simply press the V button and you'll ping retreat at your mouse's location. This is also useful if you think that it's going to be very dangerous and you want your team to get out.
I definitely say these are belong in the pro tips. I had no idea about any of this. None of it. That was all like, what? Really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. The pinging is really important because it's a really good way to quickly communicate with your team what you're trying to do, and you don't have to type it out or... Of course, if you have a voice program, it's going to be better to talk in that, but if you don't...
So, with the pinging, though, is do you have to... You have to alt-click, or...
Yes.
Yeah,
but I think there's another... There's actually a button on the screen, I think, that you can click, too. But I'm not quite sure. I think it's, like, on the right. There's, like, an icon. Then if you hover over it, it'll say you can press this to get more options on your ping.
Yeah.
But I suggest holding alt because it's just quicker. Your hand's already there, you know, by Q, W, E, and R, so bam.
Yeah, it is. Unless you don't know what you're doing.
So this next one is one of the ones that I added. Actually, the next two are two that I added after our match the other day. Being outnumbered. So engaging enemy heroes when you're outnumbered is generally a terrible idea. If you're up against five heroes and you only have three or four, you can probably expect to lose that battle. The same goes for running into minions. You generally want your minions to tank the blows for you, not the other way around. Minions are expendable, your hero and its HP is much less so. Try not to engage enemies if they have lots of minions and you have none. Very bad. Positioning. Positioning is also incredibly important. This is the other point. You don't want to be too close to enemies before a battle, but you also don't want to stay too far away. This is especially true for ranged heroes, as you want to be at a point where you can easily run from or join a battle if one breaks out. So you kind of have to gauge that. It really takes playing the game a lot to get this one down. Positioning is really important. The brush, there's brush on the side of pretty much every lane. It's usually a bush or a cloud of smoke in some maps. If you stand in there, enemies won't be able to see you. You'll see an icon above your head, like a gray eyeball. That means that they can't see you. If the eyeball is red, they can see you. There are different ways that they can see you. Some abilities, like Malfurion's Moonfire, will put that on you for a little bit, where they'll be able to see you no matter where you go for a few seconds. I believe Zagara's spiders are really good at tracking people that are not Zagara. Nazebo's spiders are good at seeing people in bushes and stuff, because they'll follow you everywhere. See, so I
I was going to say, this is something I also had no idea about. You can hide in the bushes along the lanes?
Yeah, you have to. That's how you have to start off each match.
It's a lot of people start off the matches that way, yeah. Usually there's...
How do people learn this stuff? Like, seriously?
Well, when I was running by, like, you stand in the bushes and you see, like, a little eyeball icon above you that kind of indicates that you're... It's kind of like Warcraft when you're stealthing through and it shows you that certain mobs can see you. And...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another good point to note. Some heroes, I think two, Nova and Zeratul, I think, are permanently invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike World of Warcraft, if you're next to a tower, it won't be able to see you unless you've attacked or taken damage recently. Like, it doesn't have true sight, is what I'm trying to say. It won't see you, which is good to know. Because when I first started, I thought that enemy buildings could see me, and I never went near them.
Did you already talk about how you can kind of see the range on buildings and stuff?
No, but that is a good thing to note. If you're near a tower or a fort or the enemy core, mm-hmm. you'll see kind of a red dotted outline that will appear. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting attacked by a tower, you'll also hear like a beep noise, and that means run. It means get out of it. You usually don't want to be taking tower fire unless you're a tank or unless you're in one of the, like the dragon or the...
The terror.
The garden terror, yep.
There's some heroes, I think like Sergeant Hammer too, once they do their little, you know, lockdown into the ground, mm-hmm. you can also kind of see the little, the reticle range around them, so you can kind of know to stay out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sergeant Hammer is a special case. She is a hero that has, like when she moves, she has just a regular attack, it's not very special. But when she roots down and like sieges up is what it's called, I think. All of a sudden, her basic attacks have a much further range. She mm-hmm. can't move unless she talents for it, but that's something different. She can't move. She has a much larger range, and her abilities deal splash damage. So it hurts a lot. Yeah, she's very, very, very squishy though, so it's really easy to kill her. Actually, in a lot of circumstances.
I have a couple questions.
Oh yeah, shoot.
So with regards to talents, most of my games so far go something like this. Hey, dude, which one do I take? Which and then you say, well, what do you have? I don't know. I've got the one, the thing, and the other thing. and most of the time, I don't even have the talent, the recommended talent for that tier, because my hero isn't high enough level yet.
Right.
So, do you recommend net building, which would be going onto the internet and doing your research on a hero first, or do you recommend, the hardest part for me is, like, in the heat of the moment when you're, like,
yeah,
you know, ding, you hit ding, oh, you get the little alert, choose a talent, and you're going, ah, crap, and you're in the middle of a fight, and stuff's going on, and everything's, you know, and you're running around, and you're screaming, and children are crying, and things are on fire, and you're like, I don't know what to pick, and you're trying to read through all of them real quick, and you're going, I don't know, that one looks like it sucks the least, I don't know, and, you know, so it's like, for somebody who's just getting into it, who probably doesn't have a lot of the talents unlocked yet, probably doesn't know, I've been playing different heroes almost every game, you know, and I'm going, dude, what do I take? You know, so what would be the recommended approach for somebody who's trying to figure out how to talent a hero?
Gosh, there are a couple ways. I think there's an argument for both ways, actually, because, I mean, first, you want to just get in, right? You want to get into the game and start, and you can kind of just learn the talents that way. But if it does get overwhelming, there's actually one website that I would recommend you go to try and find hero builds,
mm-hmm.
and that's heroesfire.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find guides here. You can find talent builds. A lot of them will have multiple
YouTube
builds.
Videos and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I kind of hopped in. I just hopped in, and then when I see a talent that I like, I just choose it. I know that everybody won't have that because I have like 10 years or something of MOBA experience behind me, so I kind of...
Well, see, another thing is, too, that you don't understand the synergy. If you take this talent in level 4, then you're going to want to take this one in level 10. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that you just don't know going into it. So would you say maybe that's up front? You know, especially if you're playing AI matches or stuff like that. Is there's, I mean, yes, some are better than others, but there's no wrong talent to take, I guess, if you're just trying to get a feel for it and see, like, do I even like this hero? What does this feel like to me?
Some talents are pretty darn bad. I mean, I'll just be straight honest. Some of them are really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Some are in the middle, and some are just top tier. So it just kind of depends on the hero. Like you were saying with synergies, it does depend on what you take for other talents earlier on or later in the build.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make an example. Falstad. Falstad's a hero that I recently bought and am having a lot of fun with. So you have kind of two different ways to build Falstad. You can kind of build him as an attack hero where you just kind of use his auto attacks to deal damage. I don't really like that way of playing with him. I think that the better build for me on that hero is one that improves his skills instead of just his auto attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different synergies you need to watch out for. If you're really, really serious about a hero, I would suggest going and looking up the talent spec, but at first I think it's a good idea just to maybe hop in a bot game and, you know, versus AI and just try whatever talents you want, just see what you like.
See, I know, like, I was pretty having a lot of fun with Lili for a while, and I was listening to another podcast earlier, and they were like, oh, there's this particular build with Lili right now that I guess is super broken, and they're talking about it. I'm like, those are the talents that I never take. But okay. Evidently, if there is a whole Wind Serpent build going on right now that is completely just broken, and they're waiting for somebody to, you know, hotfix it, because this is like, what the heck's going on here? So it's just, I don't know, I guess if you're casual, it's going to be hard to stay on top of maybe some of the, you know, the top-tier builds or the experimental builds or the more aggressive builds or, you know, the like you're saying, auto attacks or passive builds or...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the most overwhelming thing to me about this game so far is the talents.
Yeah.
I know that they're kind of drip-fed to you when you first start out. Like you were saying, you only get one or two at the beginning because there are so many choices. But still, it's like in that moment when that ding goes off, you're like, ah, what do I do?
And a lot of the times, if you don't know which talent you're going to take, it's a good idea to ignore it for the time being if you're in a battle or something.
And you see what it says, I do that a lot. You get passive health regen. You're like, well, that's awesome. I need that. I'm new, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you could miss out on that stuff while you're in battle, but if you get distracted like that, you could just die, which is worse.
It's possible it's happened. It's possible happened recently.
It's possible.
Oh my gosh.
That when totally you possible. Play
every time.
Totally possible.
So, okay. So then, Daryl, then you have been like, Diablo's your bro. That's your go-to guy.
Yes.
Do you feel like you like playing that warrior tanking class? Do you feel like you're having a lot of fun with Diablo, or did something just click with you, or...
Something just clicked with me. I don't know. I like his abilities that he mm-hmm. he has, especially the Flame Breath. That's just a riot. I love that one.
I know.
Yeah,
I know he loves that one because I just watch him and I can see him just... I know he's moving his mouse around because Diablo turns when you use
it on cooldown.
Use it on creeps. I would say don't use it on creeps. I would say
I'll use it on a tower, but I haven't used,
like
I
no,
don't use it
no
on
no mobs
creeps.
Anywhere, and he's just flame breathing everywhere, just running around.
Maybe on a tower. Maybe it depends.
But yeah, it's. I don't know. I found it's easy for me to play, and I like the abilities that he has. I've tried others, a couple others, and I don't know, I get frustrated with them because I don't know them very well, or or something's not working the way I expect it to. Even range classes, like it's, because I'll try and get a little closer, and then I'll use my ranged ability, and then all of a sudden, my hero starts chasing after him because he's leaving, and then I'm getting wrecked by the two that didn't run away. It's like, but why are you running after him? I didn't want you to run after him. I want you to shoot him. So,
that's exactly. I love how Blizzard has made this super approachable and how it's very easy to get into, but there's so much, like, there really is a lot of finesse to like, doing a really good job at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I need to make a point to try more of the other heroes, too. Like, I really do, but, but I'll try one and then get frustrated with it, and then, I'm Diablo for the rest of the night.
Well, and like I was saying, too, with the warrior classes, you feel like, I am playing a tank. I am playing a warrior. It is my job to go in there and just beat on everything and just to take the beating. And it's not the case. Like, no. I was watching this video the other day that was like how to be a good warrior. And, I mean, you spend the first 10 levels running away.
Like, yeah, I know.
Like, one or two hits, ting, 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 run away. Ting, 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 run away. Ting, 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 hearth back and heal. Go to the healing fountain. Ting, ting, ting. And you're not even killing anybody. You're killing creeps, and you're slowly, real slowly taking down some towers. And it's like, you have to really, like, it is not aggressive until you get your heroic ability. And then you start to, and you start to, like, team up a little more.
It took me a long time to figure that out.
I'm still figuring that out every single game. So, dude, I tunnel so hard. I see that guy. He's got like just a sliver of health.
I know. Left, those and are the I worst am like, and he gets away.
I'm like straight up YOLO, chasing him into 12 towers, and I don't even care because I have to kill him. And like, and the worst is I don't kill him. I die, and I'm just like sitting there just cussing. And,
Especially chasing into the fog of war is very, very scary because they're usually running towards their base and there's often enemy heroes running towards you. Mm-hmm. So you hit them twice as fast.
Or you use all of your abilities to chase him, to chase and to get in there and chase him down, and then you've got nothing left when you finally do catch him and you're like, oh, I'm screwed. I got nothing.
Yep. Yep. So that's kind of it. The last thing I wrote, I already talked about, was the laning phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, man, it really is a slow play until about level 10. That's what I'm starting to learn more and more and more. It doesn't matter what hero you choose, whether you're a healer or support, I guess, or warrior, it doesn't matter what you choose. Those first 10 levels are just establishing dominance. And trying to get yourself to level up before they do.
And let me tell you something else. Hero kills early on don't give a lot of experience. I think you get more experience from a minion wave than you do killing one hero early on in the game.
But when you die, then it just takes you out of the equation, and they sit there and just thrash your minions. So.
True. Just as long as you have another hero there to soak up the XP, it's alright. But you don't want to die early on, but you don't give a lot of experience if you do.
I know that... I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I know that you aren't as inclined to play the quick matches or the PvP stuff. Do you have... what would you say is maybe some of the biggest differences in the Hero League or the quick matches rather than AI matches?
Well, there are quite a lot of... people get very competitive in the PvP matches and are kind of nasty to other people.
Yeah,
not a big fan of that. I did play Dota, and I did play a little bit of League of Legends. I played Dota 2. I played Heroes of New Earth. So I have a lot of MOBA experience. I've played a lot of PvP matches, but I kind of like the AI in this game, especially with you guys. I have done some quick matches. I think that just people are just crazy. And I don't know, if you're not winning, it's like somebody's either trying to troll you or they're calling you an idiot or they're... It's just not fun.
Did you even do the tutorial?
I remember that night. That was a good night. There was four of us in there, and we had a random fifth, and we were losing against AI, and that's what he kept saying. Did you guys even do the tutorial?
Rip. That was wonderful.
That was so good.
You know what? I actually have one more thing to say about Heroes of New Earth, and it's regarding the talents. You said that the talents were kind of where you get held up, it's kind of complicated a little bit more than other parts of the game, which are really simplified. Because like in Dota, you have to get the last hit on the enemy minion so that you get the gold for it, or the last hit on the hero so you get the gold for it, and you usually want a specific hero to get all the last hits. So it's really complicated. It's really, timing is very important. In Dota, you can also deny your own enemy, your own creeps or minions. If they get low on health, if you get the last hit on your own creep, it denies them some experience. So it's...
Oh, jeez, man.
It's really a lot more complicated. League of Legends doesn't have denying, but it still has last hitting. So you get gold for each of your last hits, and then you have this big, huge shop that you have to go, and you have to figure out all the items. I think that was my problem with League of Legends, is I played so much Dota that I learned all the items in that game, and I just didn't want to learn all the items again in a new game. And that was my problem with League, I think. Kind of why I migrated over to Heroes. In place of the items, instead you have talents, and I think that that's a lot better, because you don't have 30 choices to choose from, and you know exactly what you're going to need to get for your hero. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not quite as complex, not quite meta. Not quite as meta, I guess.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I got tried League once and was like, nope. Nope.com. Oh,
and on top of the items in League, you also have rune pages and masteries and all this. So different things outside of the game that you can tweak that'll change things in the game. So... Yeah, it's pretty deep, and I guess that's why it's so popular. But, no thanks for me. Not that I don't like League. I have enjoyed it, and still do occasionally.
So you mentioned kind of for each role some recommended heroes. Mm-hmm. Do you know if they, when they do their weekly rotation of free heroes, do they always put in at least one easy one and one medium one and one difficult one? Or,
you know, that I don't know. I think that they put the harder ones locked behind the level 12 and 15 on your account, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I really don't know.
So maybe to recap that then, for a support, you maybe recommend starting off with Lili, because it's the smart heals and it's pretty easy to get over. It's as hard as you want to make it, but it's easy to pick up.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lili for support. Mm-hmm. For warrior, I recommend Muradin.
He's awesome.
He actually, his trait... allows him to regenerate health when he's not getting damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just kind of back up a little bit, you'll slowly restore your health.
Which is really nice. I mean, you can kind of handle a lane by yourself and not have to have somebody healing you or not have to worry about it as much.
Yeah, and you can just stand back, make sure you're still getting EXP, but also you're healing up at the same time. So it's really useful, especially good for new people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why for my assassin, I decided to choose Rainer. Because he has that ability when he gets low on health, so that he automatically heals back up. Super, super, super useful. I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. Rainer is one of the harder assassins to kill in the game because of that. It's very annoying when you have Rainer at like 20% HP and all of a sudden he's back at 50 or 60. It's like, nice. All right, great. And he can push enemies away with his Q, so that's really good too. And for the specialist, I recommended Sylvanas.
Mm-hmm.
An expensive hero for sure, but I'd say she's pretty easy to play, and she can use an escape ability with her haunted wave, which is E.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she throws out a wave in a line, and you can throw it over walls, or you can throw it over gates, and then when you hit the key again, Sylvanas will then teleport to that location, so you can like go through a wall and teleport away from your pursuers, or you can, like, if somebody pulls you behind the gate somehow, like Diablo,
oh, you can get out.
You can Haunted Wave back out and teleport out past the gate.
Awesome.
As long as you're not stunned, of course. If you wait, like, if you want to wait till the very last second and they're like, oh, she hasn't teleported yet, and they stun you, you're screwed. So be careful.
Well, awesome. I think that was a pretty good, good summary and kind of getting into it.
I tried to get as much as I could think of, man. I spent the last week kind of adding things every now and then.
You've done some of the more intensive show notes I think I've seen from anybody here.
I just wanted to be thorough.
Well, I was saying, like I tweeted beforehand, that they're so thorough, we should just post them as a blog and then go play Heroes.
Seriously, sounds good, man.
Heck yes, so. Definitely.
All right. Well, I see you put some notes here, so we'll go with this then.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right. What do you have for things you learned the hard way?
So, back in Wrath, or Burning Crusade, I can't remember, I rolled a Resto Druid. I know, delete. Yes. So back with the old talent trees, there was a talent for Resto Druids called Clear Casting. When you attack or cast an ability, I think, you had a chance to proc, which, what it would do, it would give you a free cast for your next spell. So, figuring I was being smart, I would often go up to melee range and hit things with my staff so that I could cast free heals. Free heals for everyone, right? Well, I decided to also start casting a big heal on the tank while I was in melee range. Apparently, the mobs in Ulduman can interrupt, and I couldn't cast for a while, so during that time, the tank died, and then we all died.
No, rip. Jeez.
Nice.
I don't have anything really. I think we've just been playing a lot of Heroes, and other than me tunneling on some of these guys and running in, even like not even as warrior classes, running in as anything and just getting my butt handed to me is basically where I've been falling short at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Daryl, do you have anything in particular? I know I told you to write something down again.
Yeah, well, I mentioned this already, yeah. But the talents. Like, I have learned that you need to watch your surroundings when you're selecting talents. Just because it popped up doesn't mean you need to immediately select it, because, yes, I have died while trying to select my talent. Because it's like, oh, talent! You know, it's like, what's that? Squirrel! Talent!
Jeez, a talent.
Shiny.
I know, so it's like, shoot.
I'm pretty sure you may have, while we were raiding this week, you may have relived one of your old favorite things you learned the hard way.
What was that?
Was it a Grimoire of Sacrifice or something?
I don't think so, did I?
No. Or you didn't have a pet out when we were starting the fight, or...
Oh, yeah.
Did I this weekend?
I remember.
For this week?
My
warlock
was on Flamebender.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It was on Flamebender, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. Like, I only had my warlock out for, like, one fight, too. Because I healed most of the night. Ah, well, yes, I've got plenty.
I just thought of something for the talents. Did you know that you can look at the talents beforehand, before they become available to pick? Like, you can press control, and then the thing will come up, and it'll be like, oh, here are the talents you'll get at 1, and then, or, you know, at 4 or whatever. You can click 4, you can click 7, you click 10, and it'll show you those talents before you actually get to that level. I should have mentioned that earlier, but...
I think I kind of knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah, if you're, like, if it's, a, like, really slow in your lane or something, you can kind of take a second, hit control, like, hold control, and at the bottom there will be, like, 1, 3, 4, or, I'm sorry, 1, 4, 7, 10, etc. Mm. And you just click that, and it'll tell you what talents you'll have at those levels to choose from.
Hmm.
So you kind of plan out.
You've got to be careful about recommending doing that stuff during game.
True. But it's definitely good to do that if, like, you can look at the next... Like, I do that a lot. Like, I don't memorize all the talents. I usually know what I'm going to choose, but if, you know, something happens, I want to be able to pick it right away. And, like, I'll look beforehand and then just try to get it when it comes up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Anywho, sorry. Just
no, that's awesome.
That's good.
Any more tips is it's always good.
Yes. All right.
Just the tips.
Just the tips.
The tips.
Hey, don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shit else to send over. Oh, so let's turn it all around and scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to you send love
to hand love this evening. As always, I need to send some hand love to our guildies. Had one job on the Deathwing server. And as well to our raid team, Team Crabdick, which is now, well, I guess you guys were before 310 heroic and we're 910 normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got my 3 heroic kills this last week, so I'm there as well officially now. And, of course, I need to send some hand love to Ignatium here for coming on and teaching me many things about heroes that I had no clue about. Like, there is a lot that I had, and I'm probably going to forget it all by tomorrow, but I might actually listen back. I don't normally listen back to our own shows, but this one, there's a good chance that I will, just because... I know I'm going to forget a lot of it, and it was good stuff. It really was. Rob, what do you got for hand love?
Definitely Ignatium for coming on, because I've been picking his brain a lot about this stuff. Anyways, I mean he's walked me through a lot of just getting some of the basics down and whatnot, but being able to come on the show and share this with everybody. I mean, even if you're a veteran, there's, you know, Heroes is different than League or Smite or any of those other games. So there's always something you can pick up. So I really appreciate him coming on to chat with us tonight. Definitely our raid team, definitely our guild, the Had One Job folks. Every time I turn around, someone is transferring a tune over to come into our guild. And it's kind of cool because we didn't start the guild as a... trying to get people to come join it, but I think there's just the people that have come over are just having so much fun that they're just, you know, it's kind of word of mouth spreading. I think you recruited another ranged, which we needed, and
yes,
I think, yeah, he's already wanted to transfer over, and, you know,
yeah, I think he did yesterday.
Stinking awesome, dude. It's good stuff. You know, I love raiding and I love our team and have a lot of fun in Heroes and Hearthstone still, but it's good to know that on Friday nights we go in there and we kill bosses and it's fun and that's probably not going away for a while. So, Ignatium, how about you? What do you got?
Well, I mean, pretty much the same as you guys. So, of course, Dark Guildies, Had One Job, raid team, Team Crabdick, and separately to you guys for always putting on a good show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We haven't checked reviews.
We should do that next week. I'm sure we check.
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap everything up, Ignatium, why don't you let people know where they can reach you or follow you or like you or hit you up for advice? No, actually, no. You're my advice guy.
No. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. That's about it. It's Ignatium with 2 M's. That's IGNATIUMM.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps up episode 97 of the Training Dummies. We are getting so close to the Magic 100. You can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher. So please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. Especially this week, because we are going to check before next show to see if we actually have any reviews. You can follow our Twitter, though, and we'll be sure to keep you informed on all the things that is Trading Dummies, and that is at Trading Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
I rolled a 20!